Hey everybody, Ron Rademacher here, Michigan Back Roads. You may not know this, but a couple of natural wonders in Michigan would not exist today if it hadn't been for the Great Corset Crisis. The Great Corset Crisis came about because of the decline of the whaling industry. At one time, the world depended on whale oil for a number of essentials, like lubricants and oil for lamps. Eventually, we figured out how to get oil out of the ground and produced all kinds of things, including kerosene for lamps. So, between petroleum and the growing scarcity of whales, that industry declined, and that led to the Great Corset Crisis. You see, one of the byproducts of the whaling industry was whalebone, and one of the items made from whalebone was the stays that helped create that hourglass shape of ladies' corsets. In those days, the corset was a critical part of female attire. No lady would appear in public without wearing one of these essential undergarments. Not only were corsets manufactured in great quantities using whalebone was also used to make replacement stays. When a stay cracked or broke, it was easy to replace rather than having to buy a new corset. With the decline of the whaling industry, whalebone stays became scarce, thus the Great Corset Crisis. In southeast Michigan, in the town of Three Oaks, there lived a turkey farmer by the name of Warren. Mr. Warren was married and had daughters, not sure how many. The number doesn't matter. What matters is that the female members of his household were in distress. Corset stays were failing, and not only were there new replacements. Due to the Great Corset Crisis, there were no new corsets available either. They say that Mr. Warren fled to the turkey bars to escape their torment, where he had an idea. After a surprisingly short time, he had worked out a way to make corset stays out of the wing bones of turkeys. From this invention was born the Feather Bone Corset Company. The turkey bone stays were so effective that the Great Corset Crisis came to a swift end, and the Feather Bone Corset Company became the most successful corset company in the world. As a result, Mr. Warren not only had a happy household again, he became immensely wealthy. He was aware of his great good fortune and began to look around for ways to help those less fortunate. A few miles to the west, homesteaders were struggling to make ends meet along the shore of Lake Michigan. The land was too poor and sandy for farming, and many families were in jeopardy. Mr. Warren stepped in and bought thousands of acres of substandard farmland at $25 an acre. Upon his death, he bequeathed this land to the state of Michigan. It is enjoyed by thousands today as Warren Dunes State Park. During the same period, Mr. Warren inventoried his own holdings and found that he owned a plot of old-growth hardwoods. He decided to save that for future generations as well. That 300-acre stand of trees is known today as Warren Woods, the forest primeval. It is so little known that even when Warren Dunes State Park is packed with visitors, the forest primeval may well have none at all. Solitude and silence broken only by birdsong are the main attractions. I planned a trip to Warren Woods to verify that there was old-growth forest in the Lower Peninsula and to check out the Galen River which flows through that forest. Legend has it that there is a bank of clay along the river that has medicinal properties. Just as I was all packed, I got a call from my friend Helga. She had heard about the magic mud and said she wanted some of it for herself. I said, "You're not planning to get into that mud, are you?" And Helga responded, "You just try to keep me out of it." For those of you who aren't familiar with my adventures with Helga, it's important to know a little bit about her. Helga is a brilliant woman, and she's beautiful. She is an artist, so you never know what she may pull next. She lives in Ohio and has a gallery there. Don't ask me why he chooses to live in Ohio. Probably just the artist in her. As I said, she is stunningly beautiful, but she isn't one of these slim modern girls out mountain biking and wall climbing. Her physique is more robust than slender. In fact, if she walked in on you right now, your first reaction would be that is the best-looking Olympic hammer thrower you've ever seen. So given that forceful personality, when Helga declares that she is going on the road with you, you may as well take her on the road. I did have one condition. I explained to her that she could go along, but we would meet in Three Oaks and drive to the forest in her car. I didn't want her and her dog getting mud all over my truck. Warren Woods is great. Old trees reaching over 100 feet into the sky, wildflowers, the river, and a cool boardwalk bridge across the river. I was focused on getting beautiful pictures, so it wasn't until I was nearly done that I realized that Helga and her dog had wandered off. I headed for the bridge, and when I got there, I could hear barking and squeals of girlish delight coming from downstream. I headed that way, and in just a little bit, there they were. Helga had removed her clothes. She had a bikini on underneath and had covered herself in mud. When I got there, she was busy kneeling in it and rubbing the crud all over her dog's belly. She looked up as I approached and shouted, "It's awesome!" As I said, she had rubbed this stuff all over herself, including her hair. I said, "That does look like a lot of fun, but we need to get going. It's going to be dark soon." She stood up and started toward the shore and said, "Okay." I said, "Hold on. Aren't you going to get in the river and wash all that clay and mud off?" Helga looked up at me and said, "Oh, no. You have to leave this on for a few hours so the medicinal properties can be drawn into your pores. That's the only way to get all the health benefits." "Well," I said, "I think your blouse is going to be pretty healthy, too. Your muddy dog is rolling all around on it." So Helga pulled on her shorts but threw the muddy blouse in the back seat with the dirty dog and jumped into the driver's seat. Now, Helga is selective when it comes to following the rules. She likes to pick and choose. One rule she ignores most of the time is the posted speed limit, and you guessed it, it wasn't very long before we hear, whoop, 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 a cop has got us. As we pull over, Helga sensed that I was looking at her. She looked over at me and said, "You just relax, I got this." The unsuspecting officer of the law approaches the driver's side and signals to Helga to roll down her window. Several things are about to happen in rapid succession. Helga reaches over and presses the button to lower the window. When it's about halfway down, she looks over at me and in a very snappish tone says, "What do you mean by that?" Of course, I flinched because I hadn't even spoken. The dog was startled by the tone, so he flinched. Our boy in blue flinched, took a half a step back, and sort of moved his hand closer to his taser. Then he realized that something was not quite right. Here was a robust woman who was apparently in a testy mood, only half-dressed and covered in dry muck. There was a muddy, very happy dog rolling around in the back seat and a startled-looking man cowering in the passenger seat. He scanned the interior of the car and asked, "Ma'am, is everything all right here?" Helga glared. "Is everything all right here? Let me ask you, do these shorts make my butt look fat?" At this point, the cop knew, even as he was doing it, that the last thing he wanted to do was look down. As his eyes focused on those shorts, his brain was screaming, "Don't do it!" He pulled his head up and his eyes wide open met mine. I tried to send him a message, "Sorry, dude, I know you're caught in the traffic stop from hell, but there's nothing I can do to help you." Of course, Helga was relentless. She said in a snappish tone, "Well, officer?" Fortunately for the officer, his brain started working again and his training kicked in. He turned his head toward that little microphone thing they have clipped to their shoulder and he grabbed it, mashed on the button and said, "You broke up there, say again." He turned away so we couldn't really see him making static noises like he was receiving some kind of a message. He turned back to us and in an authoritative tone said, "Folks, this is a call about an emergency that I have to respond to. Ma'am, drive carefully. You're free to go." And with that, he scuttled back to his patrol car and made his escape. As we pulled onto the road, Helga looked over at me and said, "You guys are so easy, it's hardly any fun anymore." Find out more at MichiganBackRoads.com.